Two people survived a midair in Louisiana Saturday. The Coast Guard rescues three people 12 hours after they ditch in the Gulf of Mexico. And scandal forces out the president of the Lindbergh Foundation. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, October 13th, 2009. Two people were killed and two others seriously injured Saturday afternoon in a mid-air collision near the Pineville, Louisiana Regional Airport. The annual Pineville Fall Fly-In was underway at the time. According to multiple media sources, including the Associated Press, witnesses said the two Cessna 150s were flying over Lake Buelow, where powerboat races were scheduled on Saturday, when they touched wings and then fell into the woods about a mile from the airport. Authorities have identified the deceased as Thomas O'Leary Jr. of Pineville and James Schultz Jr. of Alexandria, Louisiana, who were together in one of the planes. The occupants of the other plane, Ingrid and Daryl Newell, were transported to a nearby hospital for treatment of moderate to severe injuries. The NTSB will investigate. Coast Guard rescuers found three people whose small plane went down in the Gulf of Mexico, clinging to a lobster pot buoy more than 12 hours after their plane disappeared from radar Friday night while traveling south from Tampa, Florida. The two men and a woman were found 5 miles southwest of Cape Sable. Their names were not immediately released. The Miami Herald reports an overnight search covered about 2,200 square miles of the Gulf and involved a C-130, an HU-25 Falcon jet, and several boats and helicopters. The crew of a small Coast Guard vessel found the three about 10 a.m. Saturday and said they had fashioned a raft out of two personal flotation devices to get themselves to the lobster buoy. Petty Officer 3rd Class Barry Benna said staying together made them easier to locate in the water. Quote, "They did the right thing. They held on to an object that helped them all stay afloat for the amount of time they did. It was very lucky for them that it turned out as well as it did." Unquote. John Knox Bridges, named president of the Lindbergh Foundation in 2007, has resigned amid allegations he took money for investments that were never made and misappropriated funds from other organizations to repay the foundation for those investments. It's also alleged he bilked North Carolina fresco artist Ben Long out of more than $800,000, for which Long and his son sued Bridges. The Charlotte Observer in North Carolina reports that Bridges is a Charlotte native and self-described aviation enthusiast. The paper also relates that Bridges made claims he was from a family worth billions, owned a corporate jet, and moved in the same circles as world leaders, claimed to be on the boards of the Guggenheim Museum in New York and the World Health Organization, and that all those claims have proven false. The paper says Bridges also does not have Bachelor of Science and Master of Science degrees from the University of California, Berkeley, as he claimed when he was the major gifts officer for South Carolina's Erskine College. Bridges now lives in Salisbury, North Carolina, and reportedly declined to be interviewed by the paper. An attorney for Bridges has denied some of the paper's charges and questioned the credibility of its sources. Find more details on the story and get reaction from the Lindbergh Foundation in the text version of this story at arrow-news.net. Up next on ANN, Northrop Grumman and Eads debut the Eurohawk UAS. NASA gives 1,700 school kids an amazing opportunity. And NAFI salutes three new master instructors. You're listening to Arrow News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 13th. I'm Paul Plack. Northrop Grumman and Eads introduced the first Eurohawk unmanned aircraft system Thursday in Palmdale, California. The Eurohawk is the first international configuration of the RQ-4 Global Hawk high-altitude long-endurance UAS. It uses German-made sensors and solidifies Northrop's first transatlantic cooperation with Germany and Eads Defense and Security. Based on the Block 20 Global Hawk, Eurohawk will be equipped with a new signal intelligence mission system developed by Eads. A ground station consisting of a mission control and launch and recovery elements will be provided by Northrop Grumman. EADS will also provide a ground station which will receive and analyze the data from Eurohawk. The companies say that with a wingspan larger than a commercial airliner and an endurance of 30 hours, Eurohawk is an interoperable, modular, and cost-effective replacement to the aging fleet of manned aircraft, which have been in service since 1972 and will be retired next year. NASA has selected 1,732 high school students from 48 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico to participate in its interdisciplinary national science program incorporating research experience, which forms the acronym INSPIRE. The INSPIRE project is designed to encourage students in grades 9 through 12 to pursue careers in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. The selectees will participate in an online learning community, allowing students and parents to interact with peers and NASA engineers and scientists. It also provides appropriate grade-level educational activities, discussion boards, and chat rooms for participants to gain exposure to career opportunities at NASA. The selected students will have the option to compete for workshops and internships at NASA facilities and participating universities throughout the nation during the summer of 2010. The National Association of Flight Instructors reports three CFIs have earned NAFI's version of Master Instructor accreditation for the first time. They're Jeffrey Duncan of Phoenix, Arizona, and Californians William Dryden of San Diego and Michael Walker of Vallejo. NAFI also reports another seven renewals by existing Master Instructors. NAFI says that unlike other accreditations based on Flight Instructor Refresher Clinic requirements, its master accreditation is based on professional activity and accomplishment throughout the 2 years prior to the instructor's application. ANN congratulates all the new and renewing masters. Still ahead, the FAA still isn't pulling the pilot certificates of international criminals. An Army source pitches the Mueller Sky Car for use as a military vehicle. And if you're caught and go to prison, just write a book. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, October 13th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA seems to have no trouble grounding your uncle once he's had a kidney stone, but the agency just can't seem to find a way to revoke the pilot certificates of terrorists and drug lords, and the Transportation Security Administration isn't much help. ABC News reports that SBS Banking Systems, a small software firm which found several terror suspects, fugitives, and convicts still holding FAA pilot certificates in two separate database checks earlier this year, has done it again. At the request of ABC, the firm cross-checked the FAA's public database with information on suspect individuals. Among the names that came up in the latest search was Fernando Zavallos Gonzalez, a drug kingpin the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency calls the Al Capone of Peru. He's currently in prison in Peru for drug trafficking, faces more charges in the U.S. if he's ever released, and had the airline he founded in Peru decertified. But he still has his FAA pilot certificate. Several similar cases turned up in the latest SBS check. TSA spokesman Sterling Payne told ABC his agency did a cross-check this summer between the FAA database and the FBI's terrorist screening database. But the latest check by SBS cross-checked the FAA data against another federal watch list, maintained by the Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control. Payne explained that at the TSA, quote, "our efforts are focused on identifying potential terrorists looking to harm the flying public," unquote. Apparently, drug lords don't qualify. We've been hearing that the Mueller Sky Car is about to revolutionize personal transportation for what now, 30 years? The flying car, which proposes to use four ducted fans driven by eight small Wankel engines running on an alcohol water mix, has inspired both dreams and derision over the years. Mueller admits to having spent $100 million on development, Mythbusters on the Discovery Channel placed it at about double that. Having demonstrated only limited tethered flight to about 15 feet in 2003, the story from the company now is that upgraded engines are being fitted. First flight is pushed back to 2012 and certification within a few years after that. So, if the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission describes the project as, quote, a very early developmental stage prototype that has no meaningful flight testing, proof of aeronautic feasibility, or proven commercial viability, unquote, and you need to raise still more funding, who's left in the world that would still give you money? Well, the easy answer is the U.S. military. Mueller has issued a press release quoting U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel James Thomas, 304th Sustainment Brigade, 3rd Expeditionary Sustainment Command, as saying he's trying to lobby DARPA to develop the Skycar into a light aerial multipurpose vehicle, or LAMVEE, which he says would be much more effective in Afghanistan than either the Humvee or the MRAP, which stands for Mine-Resistant Ambush Protected Vehicle. Quote, the Mueller Skycar provides a more cost-effective, highly maneuverable, lethal, and safe platform for the 21st century soldier to dominate and win in an asymmetric warfare environment, unquote. It's hard to know what to make of this story. After all, the Skycar does bear a slight resemblance to the Osprey, and it took a ton of money, but they did make that work. Remember that question about what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? We may be about to see what happens when an unlimited pile of other people's money meets a black hole. And finally today, remember Marcus Schrenker? He's the pilot who was convicted of attempting to fake his own death and bailing out of a Piper over Alabama while letting the plane continue on autopilot till it crashed near a Florida neighborhood. Schrenker is also accused of bilking several family members, friends, and others out of more than $1 million. Now, he says he's going to write a book. Schrenker tells the Associated Press he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder while a student at Purdue University. He tells the Times of Munster, Indiana, that his book will focus heavily on that topic. It's not clear when the book might become available, but when it does, if you can't find it at Barnes & Noble, prosecutors suggest you try looking in the fiction aisle. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Jack Tiffany of Leading Edge Restorations and test pilot Andrew King talk about bringing the world's only flying Pitcairn PA-18 autogyro back from the dead, and then bringing it to Oshkosh. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.